Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Revelation. Let me get this thing turned on here. Revelation chapter number 7. And we are on lesson number 20. If you need lesson number 20, raise your hand and we'll be glad to get that to you. Anybody need lesson number 20? Brother Hopkins does. It's good to have Frank and Rebecca Beinecke visiting with us this morning, right over here on my left. And these folks have just bought a house in Hudson, Michigan, and they're kind of in the midst of getting moved here. And Mrs. Beinecke called me, I don't remember how long ago it was, but she told me they were going to be doing this. And so now they're visiting, they're checking us out. So y'all be nice to them, all right? And don't be like we usually are. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, it's good to have the Beinekes here. And pray for them as they make the transition moving from Illinois to Hudson, Michigan. And ask the Lord to bless them with that. So, all right, lesson number 20, the answer to the question. And what was the question? Anybody remember? It's in the Bible. You'll see it. Think hard. It has been a while. Who shall be able to stand? Who shall be able to stand? We're dealing, of course, with the awful judgments of the book and the wrath of God. Who shall be able to stand? If everybody deserves the wrath of God, who shall be able to stand? Well, Jesus took the wrath upon him. When he took our sins on him, when he died on the cross, so those who've trusted him, they're the ones who are able to stand. And so anyway, the scripture gives us this in Revelation chapter 7. As we mentioned before, some have called Revelation 7 a pause or a timeout if you're getting involved in basketball season. It's something like that, although I think more than that, it's the answer to the question that chapter 6 ended with, who shall be able to stand? The great day of his wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand? And of course, that that question is answered in chapter 7. We're kind of in the midst of all of that. So we'll get into it here in a minute. Let's look at our memory verse, Revelation 7:14. And again, Revelation 7:14 will say the reference, the verse, and then the reference together, and begin. Revelation 7:14. And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Revelation 7:14. And let's say that again. Revelation 7:14. And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Revelation 7:14. Father, thank you so much for the blood of Jesus Christ that makes it possible for us to be able to stand in the midst of the wrath of God. We know that we deserve your wrath, and yet we never will face it as your children. We'll never face the wrath of God. Thank you so much for the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you that we can be saved and our sins can be blotted out, and we can stand righteous before you. Please bless now this time. Make it profitable to us, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And so again, we come to this Revelation chapter 7, and the idea of John, after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And by way of introduction, we did talk about the idea that John again, as we've dealt with Revelation, John is seeing things take place. We do not know if it's chronological order or not. We just know that God is, I'm saying as it actually is taking place, we know this is how God is revealing it to John. But because obviously this passage, this the seal of the Savior, there is an idea that these 144,000 were sealed before some of these judgments took place. Now, obviously, the whole emphasis is on the protection from the wrath of God. Anything that God is going to do as far as wrath, these are being sealed from that wrath. They are being protected. And that's what we talked about in Roman numeral 1, the seal of the Savior. And it talks about this seal. Verse 2, I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea. And again, this is all part of that wrath. The trumpet judgments are about to come. But remember, as we dealt with chapter 6, there was you know, the earthquake and the stars falling. And we talked about the idea that, okay, that could easily be just an earthquake, as far as God shaking the earth could have been the result of a nuclear bomb, or I should say it could be, and missiles coming from the sky. I mean, again, we can speculate a lot in the book of Revelation, and therefore, if that is the result of war, of man, again, just like the other seals, man simply being let go to do whatever man does, then it would not necessarily be the wrath of God. People argue both ways on that. It really does not matter what we decide on that, and the good men will not necessarily always agree on that. But what really matters is the seal, the protection. Roman number 2, the servants who are sealed, verses 3 to 8, and we started in on that, and the seal, a seal marks a possession. We'll put a seal, we'll put a tag on a piece of clothing, or we'll put a tag, I'm thinking of our kids in school who typically lose things. We'll put a seal, we'll put a tag with their name on it, on a book or something like that, and it marks a possession. And this seal is saying that these are God's. We are His. We belong to Him. We're sealed. And, of course, that is a tribulation passage, but it is also a truth for you and I. I mean, we're sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. We have a guarantee, the sealing in Ephesians. And we ended with this last time we met, how that we are sealed. We wear the engagement ring, if you will. We have the down payment of, if you will, the Holy Spirit of God. And we're His, and praise the Lord for that. Capital A, their priority. We talked about that. They are servants of God, these 144,000 saved Jews. Again, nobody is saved outside of the blood of Jesus Christ. They're not saved because they're Jews. They're saved because Jesus died on the cross and paid for their sins. And they become preachers. We looked ahead to Revelation 14 and verses 1 to 7. Talked about that. Looked back. Prophecy in the Old Testament. And thus we stopped. Actually, I'm not sure we got to all of that. But again, the idea of the seal, these are safe. So as the wrath of God is poured out by these angels and all this wrath of God, God's people are safe from the wrath of God. That doesn't mean, again, the fifth seal is persecution of the saints. Doesn't mean that they were protected from the heathen necessarily, although God does protect us, we know that, but it just means that they will not face the wrath of God. And by the way, that should cause, that would cause more fear than anything any man could do to us, but we'll never face the wrath of God. Not in the tribulation. These that are there, they won't face the wrath of God. You will not face the wrath of God if you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. And amen to that. Praise the Lord. That is a wonderful, wonderful promise that is clear in the Scripture. So Again, they are servants that are going out. They are preaching. I'm not sure. Do you have Isaiah 66 written down, any of you that take notes? I don't remember if I covered. Did I cover that? All right. I did. Okay. And Matthew 24:14, I think I did. And I think I ended with Romans 11:26. Did you write that down? Very good. All right. So they're going out. They're preaching. And so the gospel is going out during the tribulation. We talked about this, that people will get saved during the tribulation. But again, I do not believe anybody who heard the gospel will get saved during the tribulation, because I believe the scripture says that God would send a strong delusion that they would believe the lie. And I promise you, we see lying going on all the time today. The media, just every politics, political leaders, all lying is going on all the time. During the tribulation, when Christians, after we've been raptured out of here, there's going to be all kinds of lies, and they will believe the lie. What is the lie? Well, it could be explaining why all the Christians are gone, why all the these churches are empty. By the way, a lot of churches won't be empty, but we don't have time to get into that. But so capital A, their priority; capital B, their population. 144,000, verse 4, and I heard the number of them which were sealed. They were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. So here's 144,000. Now we're going to find out later on there's a whole lot more that gets saved, but this 144,000 is very important. It's 12,000 times 12. Obviously. And so 12,000 out of each of these tribes, the tribes are named. Now I went through and I wrote down all the tribes of Israel, and then I wrote down the ones that are sealed here. And of course, I didn't have to do that. Could have just seen what the commentary said. But there is something that stands out. There's a couple things that stand out, and we could spend a lot of time on this. But one thing stands out, and that is that verse 5, it starts off with the tribe of Judah. Does anybody know why that might be kind of a strange thing, that we would name Judah first? Anybody, why would that seem a little strange? Because Reuben was the firstborn. And typically, Reuben would have been, that would have been the first name. Now again, Bible didn't say why, but we can speculate, and there's our word again, speculate. When people are speculating, they're not saying this is how it has to be. They're just saying this is maybe why. Reuben, the firstborn, fell to sin, and perhaps that is why he lost that position. Now, we're all sinners. I understand that. We're going to deal with a couple things, but sometimes some of our sins, they cost us in a way that that is beyond what we maybe thought that it would be. You're never going to figure out, I can do this and it won't be so bad. It never is like that, folks. I try to counsel our teens this way. I'm going to do this because I know God will deal with me, but it won't be so bad. Well, you don't know how bad it's going to be. You don't know. The wages of sin is death. And that can't be good. There's something dies. Something always dies. Was it Reuben's sin? Did his privilege die because of his sin? Obviously there was an effect. I always go back to David, and I preached on this many years ago, when David sinned, just a terrible, terrible thing that took place with his adultery and subsequent murder of Bathsheba's husband. But when Nathan the prophet came and approached him a year later, David had plenty of time to get right. David had plenty of time to get right with God. And when Nathan the prophet came, he said to him, God says this to you, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. And to me, that when I read that verse many, many years ago, God really spoke to my heart about, this idea of okay, I know I'm going to get punished. I know God's going to deal with this thing. So I'm willing to take that chance. And then I read that, I would moreover have given thee such and such things. And I always come back to what was in the heart and mind of God to give to David that he never got. What was it David missed out on? See, we always think of, you know, and I remember as a kid, I remember making decisions like that. Okay, I know I'm going to get a spanking. Remember spankings? Yeah. Anyway, I know, you know, Dad didn't know how to say time out. Dad just got the paddle out. Amen. But I know I'm going to get a spanking if I do this, but it's worth it. And sure enough, I'd do it, and I'd get the spanking. Fine. But, you know, and you go into Christianity thinking that way as well. Okay, well, it's worth it. Listen to me. It's never worth it because you don't know what God was going to do with you if you hadn't done that. That's why we cannot mess around with sin. We have got to take it seriously. And again, Reuben. Why Reuben? Why are you not listed first? Well, and then there's two others that are not listed here. Now, again, Joseph and his sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, you know, many times in listings, Joseph's mentioned sometimes. But in this case, first of all, Dan is not mentioned, the tribe of Dan. And then the tribe of Ephraim is not mentioned. Now, Ephraim, if you've read the book of Hosea and several other passages in the Old Testament, Ephraim, you know, boy, they just, God really gets after them. But did you know Dan, the tribe of Dan was actually the first tribe to go into idolatry. And so there could be a reason. Ephraim, look at Hosea 4. Go to Hosea chapter 4. And we have several Old Testament verses just to talk about Dan and talk about Ephraim. Ephraim in Hosea chapter 4. And there's just a lot of verses about Ephraim. In fact, I'm working on a message where I really can compare Ephraim to a backslidden Christian. You could call a lukewarm Christian. Just so many things that are similar. Verse 17, Hosea chapter 4, Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone. Again, we should not, another verse, Ephraim, they were wholly given over to idolatry. And, you know, Ephraim was, there were many, many issues like that with Ephraim. Dan, look at Leviticus 24. Leviticus 24, I mentioned the idolatry, but Leviticus 24, notice what the Bible says. I do apologize for my voice being just a little gravelly. We went to the Roanoke, Indiana basketball tournament where our boys actually won that tournament again. And but I'm not coaching anymore, amen. I mean, that's a blessing, but I did get somewhat involved in the game, which is hard not to. But Leviticus 24, verse 11, the Bible says, "And the Israelitish woman's son blasphemed the name of the Lord, and cursed, and they brought him unto Moses, and his mother's name was Shelomith, the daughter of Dibri of the tribe of Dan." And so here we have a blasphemy taking place. Subsequently, she was stoned. And Deuteronomy 29, look at Deuteronomy 29. And I apologize, I am going very fast. And it is kind of on purpose. Deuteronomy 29 and verse 18. Deuteronomy 29, 18. It says this, "Lest there should be among you man or woman or family," notice now, "or tribe, whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of these nations." So it could be a man, it could be a woman, it could be a family, it could be a whole tribe as far as God dealing with that. Verse 19, it says, "And it come to pass when he heareth the words of this curse," this is the curse for that blasphemy, "that he bless himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, though I walk in the imagination of mine heart, to add drunkenness to thirst. The Lord will not spare him, but then the anger of the Lord and his jealousy shall smoke against that man, and all the curses that are written in this book shall lie upon him, and the Lord shall blot out his name from under heaven. The Lord shall separate him unto evil out of all the tribes of Israel, according to all the curses of the covenant that are written in this book of the law." And so again, we have a speculation here as to the tribe of Dan, the tribe of Ephraim, and you know, just the idea of a very, very serious penalty taking place because of sin. You know, don't mess with sin. Again, you know, well, all those people died and they didn't know what it, but they passed that on to their generations after generations and made a bad name, you know, just for sin, for sin. And sad that we get the idea that we could do the same thing. And, you know, we can't do that. So another thing about Dan, and I just, again, I'm just going to throw this out there. Genesis 49, verse 17, there is the idea that the Antichrist will come from the tribe of Dan. Genesis 49, verse 17, it is not necessarily, you know, we can't say for sure, but there is some indication. I just give you these verses for your study. Dan shall be, verse 17, Dan shall be a serpent by the way, an adder in the path that biteth the horse heels, so that his rider shall fall backward. And again, Jacob giving the blessings to his sons, that doesn't sound real positive there about Dan to be compared to a serpent, but that's not all. Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 15, Jeremiah 8:15, we looked for peace, but no good came, and for a time of health, and behold, trouble. The snorting of his horses was heard from Dan. The whole land trembled at the sound of the neighing of his strong ones, for they are come and have devoured the land and all that is in it, the city and those that dwell therein. For behold, I will send serpents, cockatrices among you, which will not be charmed, and they shall bite you, saith the Lord. And again, we have a prophecy there about the tribe of Dan. Amos 8 is our last one. Amos chapter 8. Amos chapter 8 and verse 11. Amos 8, verse 11. As soon as I get there, I'll tell you what page in a super giant print Bible, anyway. Page 1415, if you have a super giant print, which many of us do. Amos 8 and verse 11, it says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. In that day shall the fair virgins and young men faint for thirst. They that swear by the sin of Samaria and say, Thy God, O Dan, liveth, and the manor of Beersheba liveth, even they shall fall and never rise up again." Again, an indication that it is very possible that the Antichrist will come out of the tribe of Dan. Again, you can argue one way or the other. We are not here to argue. We are here to give you some ideas and thoughts. Now, again, we're digging much deeper than many would in a study of Revelation. But those things stand out in this listing. There will be 12,000 people from each tribe, equaling 144,000. These 12,000 from each tribe will trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. They will be born-again Christians. They are not selected. No, you cannot be saved any other way than by, but by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Again, as you consider this, all right, and I want it to be applicable to us today. Here's 144,000 being used, clearly being used during the tribulation time. Praise the Lord. I mean, I don't want to be around during the tribulation time. So, but two tribes are left out. And we can only believe they're missing from this list because of sin. And so in my mind, I think, what do we miss out on because of sin? Great things are happening, but we're missing it because of sin. How many Christians are not going to be in church today because of sin? Oh, well, Saturday night's my big Friday. Yes, I got my paycheck and I can go out and they're not going to be in church. They're not going to be on a bus route. They're not going to be teaching Sunday school. They're not going to be in a junior church. They're not going to be serving God. They're not going to be in church. They're not going to be growing. They're missing out. And they're missing out because of one thing, because of sin. You know, how many times do I hear the testimony, and they're right here in this room, of, oh, I lost a couple of years. I lost many years because of sin. I lost a week. I lost my whole summer. You hear it all the time. Our school will dismiss in May, and pretty much every year I have the last chapel, and I say, you know what, don't let summer ruin your life, because it can. What? Just a summer. You know, boy, I missed out. I should have been. God had this, and I missed it. I missed it. How sad when we get down to the last years of our life and we say, you know what, I missed out on so many things God had for me. I say all that to say, don't miss another day. Don't miss another minute. Be where God wants you to be. Be what He wants you to be. And just, if you mess it, because we do sin, get it right with Him immediately. Get right and go on and do what God wants you to do. You cannot read through this list and just look at those names and just casually get by it. If you really are a student of the Word of God, it should jump out at you. Somebody missed out. Somebody missed out. And they missed out because somebody messed up. By the way, you say, well, my life's about over in it, but who's watching you that's going to miss out because they're watching you? Who's listening to what you're talking about? Who's seeing your Facebook stuff? You know, they're going to miss out because you pass something on to them. How sad. How sad it could possibly be that people are going to miss out. And so we see, first of all, we see capital A, their priority, capital B, their population, 144,000 of these servants who are sealed. Roman numeral 3, we have the saved who are safe. The saved who are safe. And so again, we go through and we read the tribes and that, and we see that some miss out. And but now Roman numeral 3, we start at verse 9. And before we do, let's have the ushers go ahead and come. And you can collect the offering, and that'll be fine. You just come and start that, and I'm just going to keep going. But notice verse 9. After this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude. And again, I want to remind you, after this, okay? Again, we do not know that this is the exact timing of how everything is going to take place. We just know that this is how it was revealed to John. Okay, so before you start getting the timeline and saying, okay, this happened, this happened, this happened, this happened, some of these things I think are happening at the same time. Other things are happening. It's just this is how it's revealed to John. Okay, and so it can be somewhat confusing. But the main thing is, okay, well, what is going on here? After this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, kindreds, people, tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb. These are not all Jews here. These, you know, the 144,000, we know they're Jews. We understand that. These are, the Bible says, all nations, kindreds, people, tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. And so these are the saved who are safe. Okay, they're standing, by the way, and they are not facing the wrath of God. Again, we find out later on because they are, they've washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Praise the Lord. But again, here, now the last activity that John tells us about, it was on the earth. You remember the four corners of the earth and the angels and all? Well, now this is it. This activity is taking place in heaven. And so again, I want to remind you, these I think are could be parallel events. And this scene really could be happening over and over and over as more Christians are slaughtered during the tribulation. Verse 14, it says, they came out of great tribulation. Now, some would say, well, those are all the raptured saints that had their own tribulation here on this earth, and we do. But we don't have great tribulation like the tribulation. And some Christians do, by the way, in our world. We've talked about that. But certainly not all do. And so I think this is, again, the whole idea is they're before the throne. They are safe. They are rejoicing because of the Lamb of God. They are rejoicing because they are not facing the wrath of God. By the way, that's why we should rejoice. Amen? I mean, that's why as a Christian, we have nothing to be upset about. We have nothing to be, okay, we have our problems, we have issues, but we are saved from the wrath of God. We'll never face the wrath of God, save because of the blood of Jesus Christ. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Jesus. Capital A, their place. And we just go through and we talk about several things here. First of all is their place. They are before the throne. The Bible says before the throne and before the Lamb. Verse 9, before the throne, before the Lamb. It is a great multitude. The Bible says no man can number this multitude. Again, John is looking out here. By the way, if God says no man could number, you can't count it. It's not possible. There's so many who are here before the throne and before the Lamb. And obviously, they're from all nations. They're clothed in white and they're waving palms. They're waving these palms. Does that remind us of anything? Does it remind you of anything that's coming up in March? All right, Palm Sunday, amen. The little kids will have the little leaves and everything, and that's all exciting. The triumphal entry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yeah, it's an interesting thing because of the common people, that's how they would receive their king. They would wave palms. They would wave them as receiving their king and accepting their king and rejoicing over their king. Now, you think of all these numbers, all these people. There's so many that a man can't even count them. How did they all get saved? Well, you had 144,000 soul winners out there, preachers out there winning people to Christ. You had the two witnesses, obviously. That's involved during the tribulation time. There's a lot of soul winning going on. And notice Revelation 14, verse 1. We go back to that again, and when we get there in a couple of years, well, I don't know about that. Revelation 14 and verse 1, again, gives us some ideas of this. I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their foreheads. I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, as the voice of a great thunder, and I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the firstfruits unto God and to their Lamb. And so this 144,000 called firstfruits, we have to believe they got saved in the beginning of the tribulation. And then others got saved as a result thereof. Ask you a question. Has anyone gotten saved as a result thereof of you? You know, has anybody gotten saved since you got saved? Has anybody gotten saved since you got saved and you talked to them about being saved? And again, it seems to be a very important thing here. These obviously are, it would appear, are following the 144,000. So we have people out soul winning. We have people preaching. And again, we're talking about a time where there's a lot of persecution. Remember that fifth seal and the persecution of the saints and how they are being persecuted. Again, it only makes sense. A person gets saved and the power of the Antichrist and Satan's power on the earth. We think it's bad now. In the tribulation time, it's going to be unbelievable. And so soul winning takes on a whole new meaning. Preaching takes on a whole new meaning during the tribulation. I mean, if you can just imagine, there are people there. They're angry. They're killing each other. It's total chaos. There's no food. Just unbelievable what all's going on. And you say, wow, you know, that seems like it'd be tough to go soul winning. And it would. And so, why wouldn't we do it now? It seems like, you know, we think it's tough. They slammed the door they called me names. What do you suppose is going to be like in tribulation? They're not only going to call names, they're going to take you and chop your head off. And you've grown very attached to your head. You're going to miss it. But, wow, you know, the palm branch, joy, triumph. We see that at the Feast of Tabernacles. You can go back, study that in your Old Testament. Feast of Tabernacles, what's that all about? Thanking God for the harvest. Well, what harvest? All those souls. That's a harvest of souls for the Lord Jesus Christ. And during the tribulation, there will be many. I think the internet will be in play. I think it'll be important as far as getting the gospel out. I think the radio. I think TV. Again, and, you know, I don't know how that'll take place because right now we don't have a whole lot of TV. But there's going to be many, many people saved, and we see it here. We know these are they which came out of great tribulation. And I think this will be going on and on. There will be many, 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 many coming to Christ and being saved. Again, that never heard before the rapture took place. So again, what an amazing sight this is. Their place before the throne. Now, what's it mean? They're safe. Just like we'll be safe. Amen. Just like we are safe right now. Safe in the arms of Jesus. Amen. And we are. If you're saved, you are saved. Oh, you know, I heard they're going to do this. I heard they're going to do that. Oh, you know, they're going to take away our guns. Well, you know, I mean, honestly, we're better off with him anyway. Amen. You know, I'm not saying don't have a gun. I'm just saying he's able to take care of us a whole lot better than we're able to take care of us. Praise the Lord. All right, we need to stop.